Thank you, Zaid. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. We have with us today on this call Mr. Rajendra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, CFO. Before we begin the call, I would like to point out that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you. I would now like to invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to take over, talk about the performance of the company and his outlook on the business. We'll then open the forum for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and very warm welcome to all of you attending this call. I hope all of you and your families are in good health and keeping safe. As we speak, the country is passing through a difficult phase, and we hope to see the aggressive response instituted by the government improving the situation in the coming period. I trust that all of you have received the Q4 and financial year 2020-21 results presentation that has been uploaded on Stock Exchange website earlier today. First, a review of our financial performance. In FY 2021, we have delivered 8.7% growth in revenues. EBITDA has increased marginally to rupees 982 crores, while profit after tax was lowered by 2.2% than the preceding year. In the context of the prevailing operating circumstances during one of the most challenging phases we have witnessed so far, we believe this is an outstanding performance. After the initial impact of the pandemic resulting in the curtailment of industrial activity across the country, we have recouped back on the business in subsequent quarters. We have improved utilization of existing facility while also completing and operationalizing new project facilities. This has allowed us to almost match FY 20 profits in FY 21 despite an increase in operating costs and fixed expenses from newly commissioned plant that are now scaling up to more optimal utilization level. Overall, as indicated previously, Q4 was another quarter of operating improvement, which is in line with our expectation and the outlook of stronger and progressive turnaround in the second half of the financial year. We sustained strong momentum on both operating and financial parameters during Q4 based on improving business visibility. During the quarter, we reported a revenue of rupees 1347 crore, which was higher by 13.2% YOY. This was driven by strong demand visibility for most of the products recovering to normal pre-COVID volumes. Further, gross margins are also back to pre-COVID levels as higher volumes have been recorded from regular market and established relationships. Also driving the business is the 75% contribution from value-added products, which is in line with our strategic direction. EBITDA expanded by 18.9% YOY to rupees 260 crores in Q4. Profit after tax grew by 23.6% to rupees 136 crores despite the higher operating cost base as well as on increase in fixed costs. Our specialty chemical business grew 14.1% in Q4 to rupees 1123 crores. As demand returned from established markets, EBIT margin expanded by 120 basis points to 18.7%. During the quarter, we undertook the annual maintenance shutdown at the acid division at Vapi and acid revamp link maintenance shutdown at Jagadia. These impacted volumes and resulted in higher costs by about rupees 12 crores. Also, there was an additional cost attached to incremental depreciation and fixed costs due to commissioning of new units during Q4 FY21. While the volume scale for those will come in from FY22 onwards. This represents a strong recovery in the second half of FY21, backed by most products hitting pre-COVID volume. Now for the Q4 production updates, production for nitrochlorobenzene was at 19,100 metric tons compared to 14,700 metric tons a year back. Similarly, for hydrogenated product, we have achieved production of 1,935 tons per month compared to 2,315 tons per month last year. On the nitrotoluene front, the production for Q4 was 2,935 metric tons compared to 2,843 metric tons in the same quarter last year. We expect to deliver steady performance improvements going forward as new facility delivers scale-up in volumes. Our pharma business grew by 8.7% YOY to rupees 224 crore during Q4. Positive leverage from higher utilization of facility drove volume and resulted in EBIT margin expansion from 17.4% to 21.2%. Business visibility in pharma is based on higher volumes from regulated markets, value-added products, and new introduction of intermediates. Overall, the trend of volume expansion and structural marginal improvement is sustained. Revenue growth is expected to be maintained as additional capacity for API and intermediates are getting operationalized in the coming quarters. During Q4, there were some stoppages in pharma operation that were linked to the implementation of sustainability-related initiatives. This had some impact on production and sales turnover during the quarter. Going forward, we have a strong pipeline of approvals that will allow us to further strengthen our position in therapies such as anti-hypertensive, cardiovascular, oncology, and corticosteroid, etc. Now, I'd like to cover our capital expenditure initiative underlying long-term growth prospects. We have incurred capex about Rs. 415 crore in the fourth quarter, bringing the aggregate investment for FY21 to Rs. 1300 crore. During H2 FY21, we operationalized a new chlorination unit in Jhagadia and phase 2 unit at Dahej SEZ for agrochemical intermediates. At present, we have several other capital investment projects in pipeline. This includes expansion of US FDA capacity currently underway at the API unit located at Tarapur and at the intermediate unit at Vapi. Setup of production unit for the second long-term contract at Dahej SEZ, for third long-term contract at Jhagadia, and the NCB expansion at Vapi. Expansion come asset upgradation for our acid unit at Vapi. Overall, we are undertaking several expansion asset restoration and sustainability related initiative across various locations. This will entail a capex during FY22 and FY23 of about Rs. 1500 crore. Considering the global opportunities available, we are invested into setting up a state-of-art research and technology center at Navi Mumbai. This center was officialized in March 2020 and has been driving the innovation for us to be able to cater to these opportunities. Over the last 2-3 years, we have focused on enhancing our internal talent pool by onboarding experienced professionals at various business functions across the company and also creating a bench strength to cater to growth initiatives. Driven by R&D and innovation, the company is embarking into the journey of expanding its product portfolio and will commence to implement growth projects over FY22, FY24. Entailing capex of Rs. 3000 to 3500 crore. This includes a range of products to be introduced in chlorotoluene value chain, other value added products and specialty chemical products, additional custom manufacturing opportunity being explored, setting up of UMPPs, that is universal multi-purpose product plants, expansion of existing pharma products and introduction of new pharma API and intermediates. This will lead to addition of new chemistries and value-added products with an objective to launch 40-plus products for chemicals and 50-plus products for pharma, driving growth beyond FY25. Substantial part of the product's chemistry being introduced for the first time in India. This will strengthen India's position as a key global supplier. These products would cater to a wide range of end-use applications such as pharmaceutical, agrochemical, polymers, pigments, rubber chemical, etc. And serve an EBITDA margin of about 25% to 30%. We are also actively pursuing additional manufacturing outsourcing opportunities and strategic alliance. Coming back to the current year, to reward shareholders for their continued support, we have announced the issue of bonus shares in the ratio of 1-to-1 and a final dividend of Rs. 3 per share on a pre-bonus basis, while on an ex-bonus basis would be about Rs. 1.5 per share. Board had further cleared a fundraise proposal of up to Rs. 1500 crores to support and strengthen balance sheet. Driving forward on the strong momentum in the business, we are now well placed to able to hit a high growth phase in FY22. We expect to be able to register top line and bottom line growth of about 25% to 35% in FY22, excluding the one-time compensation for termination of contract accruing at the end of FY22. We are on track to maintain our long-term growth momentum as guided earlier. Based on these initiatives, the near-term horizon until FY24, we expect 1.7 to 2 times growth based on combined benefit of our initiative with stable margins and profits. In the longer term horizon till FY27, we expect revenue to rise by 2.5 to 3.5 times over FY21 with expansion in margins and strong leverage in profits. With the execution of our plan growth objective, we look forward to driving stronger value for all stakeholders associated with Aarti Industries. With that, I conclude my opening comments and we will open the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. The The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on the EcoVadis medal for sustainability as well as ISO 27000 for R&D. So my first question is in terms of the investments that we have done on the sustainability and VHS side. So I understand over the last 5-6 years, we have invested close to about 300 plus kind of money on this. So how do you expect that this has helped us in the last few years, and how will it help us in terms of our future growth? Thank you.
I think that's a very good question. I think chemical industry, one of the key factors for India to grow in this will be on focus on safety health environment, SHE. And our strong focus by Aarti Industries in last few years actually is one of the key reasons for getting these three contracts, long-term contracts, which we could get. We could demonstrate that our infrastructure as well as our practices are meeting the customer's requirements. And that definitely gives you a higher volume share as well as some places higher margins because of this sustainability of related, you know, automation or zero liquid discharge and effort to minimize the exposure.
Yeah, understood. So the second question is in terms of the next leg of CAPEX, which is almost close to about 5,000 crores. So what provides us visibility from our investment perspective? Now, earlier we had the visibility that we have the long-term contracts based on which the CAPEX program was planned. Now, what is the underlying based on which we believe that we will be going ahead with such a massive expansion plan? Thank you.
Yeah, generally, I think we have been guiding that selection of products are based on three factors. One is there is an import substitution. Second is where there is a global growth. And third, where we are in China plus one strategy, we can be the only first or second Indian source. So based on that, we have selected the product lines. As mentioned in my speech, that a lot of them are, going to be the first time made in India, and some of the chemistry. Like chlorotoluenes, there is no chlorotoluene manufacturing in India itself, and even the first chemistry like amoxidation and photochlorination of OCTPCD is not done in India. And similarly, a lot of other specialty chemicals, we will be the only one from India to manufacture. So that gives us a very strong visibility. And we have a very strong customer base in India as well as across the board in various end-use sectors, whether it's agrochemical or engineering polymer or dyes and pigments. So that gives us a very good confidence about the volumes.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ritesh Gupta from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Just was curious that on a couple of products, you have seen a volume decline on a YOY basis. What is the reason for that?
Yeah, as I mentioned that, we had taken a shutdown in Jhagadia during this quarter. So PD and NT, those products are made in Jhagadia facilities, which has resulted in the reduction in volumes.
Understood, sir. And so just on the long-term CAPEX side, what is it that you incrementally see? So I know that you alluded to the China Plus One and all that. But let's say, for example, even in last 2-3 years, we have invested a lot of money. And since the last VIP, we have been aggressively investing as well. But honestly, the earnings for last 2 years has been pretty flattish. I understand there are cyclical reasons for the same, but what gives you the confidence that, let's say, in terms of realization and in terms of the IRR, etc., things may continue to remain or probably will improve from here on, and it can support the kind of, let's say, 4x growth that you're targeting over the next 6-7 years.
This FY21, I think COVID was a major impact which led to decrease in volumes and also supply of the material to a non-regular market at a lower margins. Going forward, you know, we expect that the demand is now reached pre-COVID levels, and with our new capacities, we should be able to increase our volume substantially. So current year, you know, we are guiding 25 to 35% top line and similar volume growth in specialty chemical, and also pharma also nearing that level. And subsequent 2 years also, with further commercialization of NCB and all. So that will, you know, that 1.7 times guidance was here, 1.72 times by FY24 will be based on our most of the existing product lines.
Got it. And just on the capex beyond 24, I mean, what are the new things that you're targeting? I mean, is it like the application areas which are completely new for you, or these are largely the downstream derivatives of what you're already doing? How you're looking at things, let's say, beyond 24? I mean, what are the key target areas there?
Yeah, one is then introduction of a new value chain, chlorotoluene. So chlorotoluene, then there are a host of downstream chemistry going into that. That is photochlorination, amoxidation, hydrolysis, bromination, Balchemin reaction, AHF fluorination. So host of chemistry in that entire value chain. And for our normal nitrochlorobenzene, dichlorobenzene, and nitrotoluene, also the downstream products are being added with newer chemistry. So will be first time also introducing propylation in India. That is also like 100% import at present, and also as an export potential. So one new value chain, and our existing business lines are more and more value-added products. And somewhere it will be even a custom manufacturing kind of a product where the raw materials can be supplied by the customer, or we take it from some party and then add the value. So that is the overall scenario. And and on the end use side, one question was on the end use side, right? So this end use of this will be in the same side, you know, agrochemical, pharmaceutical, polymers, dyes, pigment, rubber chemicals. So the customer base is going to be very, very similar. So that's a very big advantage. That, you know, that gives us a very good volume visibility from market point of view. It will be very similar customers where, you know, this product will be going.
Got it, sir. Just last one, if you can squeeze in. I mean, on the take or pay contract that you had and where the customer kind of had to unfortunately cancel the order, I mean, you've written almost, you got the money back. So, I mean, why there is almost, I mean, whatever that money was that was supposed to be received in full. So, have you received the entire amount, or is there some something which is there which you need to know?
No, actually, this from first year, that's what we have written, almost missed the payment. We have already raised the invoice. We'll be getting the payment in next few days. So, for the first year money. And substantial portion is going to come in FY22 for those compensation. FY21 invoice has been raised, and we should be getting the final installment payment shortly.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Naushad Chaudhary from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions, sir. First, I wanted to understand on our chloro-nitro-toluene project. If I recollect it correctly, we started the construction of this project in FY20, and it was expected to complete in mid of FY22. So, what is the status of this project, and how much capex have we deployed so far in this? And when can we expect this project to be operational?
The first phase will get commissioned in first half of FY 2022, and the second phase actually has been delayed because of certain equipment related issues. That will be commissioned in FY 2023 for nitrochlorobenzene expansion.
How much capital have you deployed in phase one, sir?
Yeah, currently in around, I think, 60 crore-70 crore has been spent.
Okay. If I correct it, if I recall it correctly, it was expected to have around 400 crore-800 crore rupees of CapEx in overall this project. Isn't it 60 crore-70 crore rupees is very small against the proposed CapEx amount?
Oh, then there is some confusion. I was talking about nitrochlorobenzene, which was a total 150 crore. Whereas, you are referring to chlorobenzene, so that main chlorination plant has been commissioned. The hydrogenation portion was commissioned in FY 2021. This first contract, which is also part of that chlorobenzene chain, has been also commissioned in FY 2022. FY 2020, sorry.
I'm referring to chloronitrotoluene, for which we had a proposed capacity of 42,001, and for 2-chloro-4-nitrotoluene, for which we had a proposed capacity of 64,000 tons, which was expected at Dahej GIDC, with a total CapEx of around 800 crore-1,000 crore rupees.
Yeah. That, you know, basically, that project has already mentioned that was part of the long-term contract that has been commissioned in Dahej. A precursor to that, the chlorination plant at Jhagadia also has been commissioned.
Okay. Second clarification, sir, on the tax paid part, as per cash flow statement. In this financial year, we have paid around 96 crore rupees of tax versus as per P&L, there's 163 crore rupees of tax. There's a huge difference between these two. If you can, you know, give clarity on this part, sir.
I think, Chetan.
The P&L doesn't have a tax of 166 crore. I would request you to just reconsider the number.
For the full year I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about the full year only, sir.
Oh, sorry. 130 crore rupees.
Sorry?
For the full year, we have 130 crore rupees in P&L, but in cash flow we have around 96 crore rupees only. There's a gap of 30 crore-35 crore, I guess.
No. The thing is that you will have to consider there is a deferred tax of around 23 odd crore, and there is a MAT credit also available. That's where the gap is. A major chunk is the deferred tax of 24 crore.
Okay. Lastly, I missed on the volume part. Sir, can you repeat the PDA and nitrotoluene volume for this quarter?
Yeah. The PDA volumes were roughly around 970 tons a month, and nitrotoluene was for the quarter, it was 2,935.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, sir. In fact, the guidance what you have provided, the long-term guidance there, I think it really looks interesting. It is having seen a kind of 11%-12% kind of a growth CAGR over last five-year period. Now we are guiding about 30% kind of CAGR on the revenue side, and similar on the earnings side also. This really looks very strong. Can you just give some more clarity about it, sir? Whether the growth momentum would be largely back-ended or if you can just provide some more color to this. what would drive this and how would that be achieved? Because even one more aspect that I see, when you are saying that revenue growth is a 30% CAGR and you are talking about margins could be in the range of 25%-30%, so then from the current level of 21%-22%, so I think the earning growth can be really 40+ CAGR, kind of 40%-45% or beyond. So what is the kind of gap that I am finding in terms of earning growth CAGR, if you can clarify, please?
Yeah, FY 2027, we have said about 2.5-3.5 times on sales and 3-4 times on EBIT and PAT level, because new products will have a higher EBITDA margin.
Okay.
EBIT and PAT growth will be higher than the turnover. As far as the volumes is concerned, same, there's a lot of import substitution as well as demand from India. And some of the products, there is a good growth on engineering polymers and certain agrochemicals. So these are the key volume drivers. There are expansion, some of the customers within India of agrochemical and all, they are expanding, and on back of that, our volumes also will be increasing.
Okay. No, I was largely mainly referring to the FY 2024 growth guidance. So kind of a 2x, both on the revenue front as well as the earning front that we are talking. So
In current year, there is that one time, this shortfall fee is there, where there is no turnover.
Okay.
Yeah. So now the turnover is added. So that's why that's a little bit mismatch is coming.
Okay. And now on the dicamba front, see, that facility was there ready. So whether we have started seeing any kind of incremental business out of it, because possibly we are the most integrated player for that dicamba intermediate. And with the business now remaining as it is, with the kind of reversal of the U.S. court order, so did you see any kind of incremental business, or are you getting ready to have any incremental business out of that, sir?
Yeah, actually, overall, dicamba, the situation is improving as compared to the last year. And we say that this new plant, the volumes will start getting ramped up over the next 2-3 years period. And we'll be able to supply this product to other customers.
Okay, so is it the validation thing which is taking time, or what is it, sir, for this customer validation?
It's a global demand which was impacted. And so right now, whatever is the inventory in pipeline is getting consumed. General feedback currently is that, from next year onwards, the dicamba overall demand will increase, and correspondingly, we'll be able to supply the intermediate.
Okay. Just last question, sir, from my side. So in your long-term growth triggers that you have mentioned, you're setting up dedicated toll manufacturing plants for customers, and also indicated about high growth sectors that you are now adding. So if you can just clarify on these two factors, means whether you have in your CapEx plan, you have already factored any kind of incremental supply projects apart from the already known project, or in the new growth area, if you can just elaborate a bit.
Yeah, in chemical segment, we never had, this what you call a UMPP kind of plant, where, you can add any chemistry and product can be introduced fast. So first time, we'll be having those UMPP type facilities, which will be designed to take different product with different chemistries. And so this will help us for our regular multi-customer product also. and also for a contract manufacturing on one-on-one, you know, that the entire commercialization cycle will become much faster once we have this UMPP on ground. So they'll be used for multi-customer as well as for single customer tooling. So this will be a very good plus point going forward in next few years, that you have this facility where you can commercialize things much faster.
Okay, this is trigger beyond FY 23-24, like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is a lot of appetite, but currently we don't have plants available.
Correct. So multi-purpose plant is not there.
Yeah, once we have this couple of these UMPP plants on the ground, a lot of things, you know, we'll be able to capitalize. Because the customer wants material from us, because we are totally backward integrated. And customer wants supply chain independent of China. And so there, you know, appetite from us is the customer wants a product of $60-$70 also. So once we have this kind of facility, that will really drive the growth in the second half of this decade.
Okay. Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Manish Jain from Gourmet One. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on very aggressive plans for the next 5-6 years. My first question is on... the world is moving towards carbon neutrality. So what are the decarbonization plans that you are building in your business? And of the 5,000 crores capex that you're talking about, is there any allocation to decarbonization?
Yeah, actually, now we have decided that all our project site, you know, we'll have a proper solar energy also. And we already have co-generation plants. So steam generation also will have a more co-generation plants. And also sourcing power from green energy. So that will be another area on this carbon footprint point of view. So our effort will be everywhere, you know, for decreasing the energy consumption and water consumption, and our threshold for even capital investment for energy saving devices we have kept lower than a normal capex. So both on power sourcing and solar energy as well as cogeneration, these will be the three main thing, and also in our operations wherever, you know, we are able to recover energy. That will be the strategy.
So do you have any fixed plans or timelines by when you expect to become carbon neutral?
Actually, here, you know, there will be a lot of things will happen with our customer collaboration. What is in, because we go in, we are N-1, N-2 to a lot of global customers. So a lot of their strategy will combine with their strategy. In that sense, you know, where we can use more of a natural gas compared to coal as a energy source. In that sense, but we, as you know, we are intermediate players. We cannot become a carbon neutral in that sense.
Sure. And my last question was on asset turnover. Given that the capex that we are incurring, what's the thumb rule asset turnover incrementally that we can assume on the capex being incurred over the next 3 years?
Yes, we are looking at, you know, capex as a turnover to capex in the range of 1 to 1.5 for this value-added product. So that will be the range. So if you take a middle around 1.25 kind of a thing. All that generally depends on the value addition, so that's where this range comes. But here we are going to have more value-added products in our expansion. So asset turnover will be a little less.
Excellent. And congrats once again on phenomenal execution and consistent growth opportunities in your business.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So just two questions. One was on the guidance. Just wanted to understand, so the guidance, we should not build in the shortfall fee that has come in the base, or it's on top of that shortfall fee, but excluding the shortfall fee for FY22.
No, this will be based on including shortfall fee.
Okay. And so even for FY22, but your guidance does not include the balance settlement that will happen, right? That is a fair understanding in the guidance.
Yeah, that is for the future. That is for the future period. So that is not included. Whatever is pertaining to FY22 is included.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And the second was, I just missed the volume on hydrogenation and NCB, if you could share that number, please.
NCB was 19,100.
Mm-hmm.
And hydrogenation was 1935 per month.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, again, one clarification on the guidance. So what you are saying is in by FY24, the turnover over the FY21, the growth could be around 2x. So basically the 5,000 crores turnover could become 10,000, can become 10,000 crores. And the incremental capex, that is including the CVIC, which is currently at 1,500 crores, and another 1,500 crores capex that you are proposing for 2022 and 2023. So the incremental capex is around 3,000 crores and incremental turnover is 5,000 crores. So are we saying the incremental asset turns is going to be 1.6 times? Is it what the calculation is?
No, basically by FY24, you know, we'll be around 9 to 10,000 crore on a sales basis, and that will be compared to whatever has been capitalized in the FY21-20 also, and future also. Next 2 years, so that will be reflecting the turnover of that. And from FY24 to FY27, that growth will be from that newer expansion of 3,000 to 3,500 crore, and some more capacity utilization of the earlier capex. That's how it will be.
No, specifically between 21 and 24, the 5,000 crores increase is only coming from the 3,000 crore incremental capex, sir? Or is it something else?
The incremental capex is going to be executed between FY22 to FY24 next 3 years. So the turnover from that will actually start coming in mainly from FY25 onwards.
Okay, so basically this incremental revenue from 21 to 24, that will be derived out of the existing assets?
Yeah, existing whatever has been capitalized now and what will be further capitalized in next 2 years, that will be driving this turnover growth from FY21 to FY24. Whereas additional 3,000 to 3,500 crore, what we are saying, which will be for the newer product, that will drive the turnover from mainly from FY25 onwards.
Okay, because this turns out to be a little bit in higher asset terms, because as it generally happens, more high value added products usually results in high margins but at a lower turnovers. This when you are about to increase your high value products, this turnover from the incremental capitalization, I just want to get it right that this is the right number.
Just I will explain. FY24 to 27, if you see, our turnover guidance is less and the EBIT and PAT guidance is more. If you take from 24 to 27 as a base, that is where, you know, the asset turnover will be less.
Okay. All right, sir. So my second question is on the recently we see that the the composition of the high value products has been decreasing in the last two quarters. Is there any specific reason related to demand? We are seeing more and more PDCBs and the base products getting exported, less of the hydrogenation products and ammonolysis products. Is there any reason specifically? Is it an aberration or just still the demand has not come back from the export markets?
So this year quarter, we had this shutdown in Jhagadia, where is actually the value-added products are made of chloroanilines and PDA. So that was the reason. But in general, this value-added products will share will continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Guge from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, my question is on your...
sorry to interrupt, Nilesh, but may I request you to speak a bit louder? Your voice is a bit low.
Sure. So my question is on your photochlorination. You mentioned that you... And definitely, you have competency in photochlorination and then ammonization, hydrolysis, and another chemistry, then definitely you will make the derivatives from this photochlorination. So I need to understand what is the market size globally for those derivatives and the photochlorination chemicals currently, and at what growth rate the demand is growing for these products?
Yeah, actually, they're mainly going in pharma and agro. Even your statin has amoxidation. And then basically, ultimately, a lot of them end up in a fluorinated compounds going into agro and pharma. So there's just quite a bit growing demand.
And sir, what is the current market size?
Individual product wise will have be difficult to have that number.
Okay.
Overall fluorochlorine, we are looking at 1500 to 2000 crores sales in the entire value chain.
Okay. And that will be achieved, matlab that will be your target between this FY25 to 27, right?
Is my understanding? Yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Sir, first question is on our investment, the capex, which we have already done in last couple of years. Almost 2,500 crore plus has been spent. But we have seen that definitely our EBITDA has been flattish in last 3 years. Generally, we see, sir, gestation period ranges from almost 18 months to 24 months in most of the companies. But in our case, it seems a bit longer. Is there any particular reason for that, and why we have seen that this capex getting converted into EBITDA or revenue has taken longer than the industry average? So,
yes, the last year, this FY21 was impacted by the COVID. That was one of the reasons. And so this year onwards, that's why, you know, this year onwards, we'll see as a sizable volume growth, and we are guiding almost 30% this year. And next 3 years almost will become another 30-40% on a volume growth.
But sir, even sir, 50 to 60% of the industry which we cater to agro and pharma has done phenomenally well even in the current year. So that kind of growth number is also not getting reflected in the current year numbers, and the overall performance has been muted. Just wanted to understand a little bit more. Is that something that some of the projects have just got completed and have taken a longer time in completion, and the impact in 22 numbers can be much sharper than what we are projecting?
Yeah, it basically will again depending on how the ramp up and everything takes place this year. So broadly, you know, we are looking around 25 to 35%. That is our current estimate for FY22.
And the similar number should be for FY23 as well, because the money has already been spent on the capex, right?
Yeah. So basically, you know, from FY20 to FY24, we are looking at 1.7 to 2. So that is, will be the kind of thing which will happen between the. So over 3 years, just, we are almost doubling in 3 years.
And so just one only extension of the previous participant question only, sir. Even you have given in your presentation that you look at improving EBITDA margin to almost 25 to 30%, which is given between 22 to 24, not sir beyond 24 and 27. So this margin expansion, sir, which you are talking about is only possible after 24, not in a current scenario where we are having EBITDA margin of 22% right now will increase to 300 to 400 basis point in next 3 years, or there will be no expansion in margin, sir.
That growth will happen in more of from 24 to 27, because that, you know, they are much more valuated. In chlorotoluene, you know, we will not be selling virtually nothing, no OCT, PCT will be sold. Whereas here, you know, we sell a lot of PNCB and PDCB, so it's substantially valuated. And also further downstream products on nitrochlorobenzene, chlorobenzene, we are adding more value-added products. So this jump of EBITDA as a percentage will more happen in that 24 to 27 period.
Okay. Okay. As I guess, last question, sir. On the bear and the money which was supposed to come, just to reiterate and the brushing it up, you mentioned that $5 million or $20 million will come in FY22 and balance $80 million will come at the end of FY22. So that contracts and the cash flows remain intact for FY22, and we should be expecting by end of FY22 we'll get another $80 million, or any changes are there?
No, that is maintained.
So by end of FY22, I mean this year, we will get $80 million dollars again, right?
Yes, but that has not been taken into the guidance.
That shows, sir. So, and just only the last thing, sir, any changes or any further development on the product or intermediate which we were making for the dicamber, any further plan on that what we plan to go ahead, what we plan to do with this existing plant?
No, we'll be able to market that product. That's what I think previously, one of the questions I had discussed, that, you know, and that plant also we expect to reach maybe 70-80% capacity by FY24.
So, okay. So, this revenue guidance includes that plant utilization also, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in queue for any follow-up questions, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So thanks a lot for the opportunity. Couple of things, sir. Number one, the capitalization which we done in this year is around 1100 crores. So can you tell us what would be the capitalization, where this capex would be capitalized?
Yeah, 450 crore is for that SEZ, then the chlorination plant at Jhagadia, it will be around 250 crores. And then we also purchased some land at in Gujarat, and in pharmaceutical segment also, and R&D center. So that will be another around maybe 150 crores. And another will be maintenance capex and some further specialty chemicals. So that will be the broad bifurcation.
Okay. And sir, this 1200 crores of WIP which we see here, this is basically what would be the breakup of this?
Yeah, so I will take this question up. So the breakup of that would be projects which are in pipe, which are under execution, the expansion of nitrochlorobenzene capacity, the scale up on or expansion on the USFDA pharma facility, the capacity which is coming up for the second and third long-term contracts. So these are the major ones. There has been a first phase of acid expansion and revamp, so acid division expansion and revamp. So that is also underway. So these are the major ones.
So, sir, nitrochlorobenzene or toluene?
Benzene.
Okay,
So NCB capacity, if I'm not wrong, it is already increased, right? We already increased the NCB capacity in 20
years. There are two phases. NCB capacity, 3 years back, we enhanced it from 57 to 75,000 tons. A year back, we started the journey of enhancing it or expanding it further from 75,000 to 108,000 tons. So that particular expansion from 75 to 108 is underway.
Okay, so that will happen in 22.
The first phase will happen in 22, as Mr. Gogri said sometime back in the call that there are some equipment which have been delayed. So part of it might just spill over to next year.
So, sir, just for clarification, you said NCB will expand from 75 to 108, and chlorination we were expanding from 110 to 175, right? So that also planned, that is also the part of the CAPEX?
That is completed. It is already commissioned and operationalized in FY21.
Okay, so that is operationalized. NCB got delayed and that will happen in 22 partially and 23 partially, right?
No. So NCB was anyway scheduled for FY22. Yeah.
Okay. And this two projects of the 2-nitrotoluene and 4-nitrotoluene, what would be the capex of that would be penciling in this 1200 crores?
No, there is no 2-nitrotoluene, 4-nitrotoluene.
So 6 chloro 2-nitrotoluene and 2 chloro 4-nitrotoluene, these were the two capexes, right?
No. This, from where that name is coming, I don't know.
So the toluene capex, sir, the expansion in toluene.
That chloro toluene chain we are going to come up, but as a part of the future strategy, I'm not sure whether this will have that name or not.
So this 1200 includes only benzene, USFDA, the long-term second and third contract, right?
Yeah.
And some other specialty intermediates revamp and expansion.
And for the second and third long-term contract, when the plant will be commissioned for that?
The second one will happen in this, we are targeting to complete in first half, but depending on the COVID, it might go to Q3. And the third contract will be in the second half of this year, FY22.
Okay. And sir, lastly on the CAPEX, we indicated that we already done 1500 crores of CAPEX in financial year 21, around 1300 crores. And we intend to do 1500 crores kind of a capex in financial year 22 to 23, correct?
Yes.
And then remaining going further expansion, that 5000 crores. So out of that, around 1700 crores kind of a capex will be also done in 24, correct?
So that is a separate 3000 to 3500, which will happen over this 3 year period. That will be for the newer product range.
Okay, so meaning the 9,000 or 10,000 crore target of revenue which we are targeting is largely based on the current gross block of 3,500 crores plus the WIP of 1,200 crores and the capex of around 1,500 crores which we are going to do by financial year 23. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
So then basically your targeting is around something around 1.4 to 1.6. kind of a fixed asset turnover ratio. That is the math, right?
Yeah, I think that number might, I think you have done that calculation, so that must be correct. Yeah.
Perfect. And then the 5,000 crore additional which we are targeting is largely in what kind of chemistry then?
Yeah, it's not 5,000, it will be 3,500 because 1,500 is counted in this one. So that chemistry basically will be, one is the base chlorination, then amoxidation, photochlorination, then AHF fluorination, there is a Ball-Siemens reaction and Sandmeyer reaction, bromination. There is a host of new chemistry which we'll be getting into.
Okay. Perfect, sir. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Atul Bhole from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my question is about the fundraise which you have announced. So have you decided the kind of fund, the instrument you will use for the fundraise?
Not yet.
Okay, so it need not be 100% equity or so it can be a partial of equity and debt or debt only?
Yeah, Yeah, that's only the resolution right now is passed. Then we'll be studying, you know, what should be the combination and what should be the instrument.
Okay, okay. Thanks, sir. That's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Khaitan from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question, sir, in this quarter, so both the specialty chemicals and the pharmaceutical business has taken a shutdown. So what could be the increase in the fixed cost which has been taken in this quarter cumulatively?
This chemical about 12 crores were the expenses because of that, and pharma maybe another 2-3 crores.
Okay, so 15 crore increase in the fixed cost. Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, my second question, as this has been already asked by an earlier participant, sir, the $20 million cash flow has been received or yet to receive that money?
No, 15 million has been received.
Okay, $15 million has been received as cash flow in for the whole year.
Yes.
Okay, okay. And sir, the third question again, so on the capex side, so this 5,000 crore capex, so 1,500 crore we are targeting from the raising of funds, almost 2,000 crore would be from the cash flow which the company is generating, and remaining would be from the debt. So is this a fair man?
Yeah, there will be some debt element also. And this, okay. We will be getting the shortfall or this fee also. So part of that will be there. Yeah.
Okay, okay. And just one last question from my side, sir. On the pharma business, so sequentially there has been a dip in the margins by 259 basis points. So what is the reason for this?
No, in the current quarter we had this shutdown which resulted in and also it depends on the product mix that ultimately comes out every quarter. So this quarter we had few products which were having less margins that came out in the production because we run a multi-purpose plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
is it because of a less demand or something, or what could be the reason for it?
Yeah, see, we are operating a facility where we manufacture 48 products, APIs, and almost another 50 intermediates. So we manufacture close to 100 products depending on the demand of the products, and time to time we have to maintain the position of each and every product. So quarter to quarter, there could be such variations, which can result in 5 to 7 crore up and down in EBIT number.
Okay, okay. And just one more question, sir. Any call has been taken on the pharmaceutical demerger part?
I think the committee is examining. We have formed a committee which is examining all the options. And they will take a call in due course of time.
Okay. Okay. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bobby Jayaram from Falcon Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. You've given a forecast for revenue quite far out and the same for profits. But for revenues, you need the RM prices, right? You need to forecast the oil prices too. And for profits, you need to know the prices of your intermediates. So how are you so confident of this, of those things that far out?
You rightly mentioned on oil will be. So that will be a constant raw material prices generally. It's a revenue guidance. If there's a change in the crude prices, which increases benzene or toluene prices or decreases the prices, that will impact the top line. But our basic business model is a raw material cost pass-through model. So it doesn't impact the absolute EBITDA. It is that top line might change, if the benzene is 50 rupees or 150 rupees. Yeah, EBITDA doesn't change much. It is the top line which changes. So this is when we are giving the top line guidance. It is based on that the raw material prices, which are oil linked, more or less remain same. So EBITDA guidance is which will be more or less, you know, maintained, but the top line can all depends on oil price or sulfur prices.
So you're basing the top line guidance on today's oil prices?
So that will be based on the current prices of benzene.
Okay, so if the current oil price,
if the oil prices decrease by half, your revenue will go down.
Yeah, there will be a link to that, you know, depending on our benzene consumption and toluene consumption. So what will be the impact, that corresponding impact will come.
Okay, the more important your EBITDA numbers, a lot of the prices today have been very much influenced by China and some of the pandemic issues. But going far out, 24 or 25, 27, all those factors would pretty much stabilize. So how do you know what the prices would be for the intermediate?
So that is basically, you know, what are the we have taken what are the prices in under normal circumstances and some inflation increase in that. So that has been taken into account.
So you based on minimum on a conservative basis, right?
Sometime, you know, a lot of time you get a one-time increase, but in overall our guidance, you know, that has been removed, and that is based on an under normal market circumstances, what are the typical margins that has been taken.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Bhatia from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had a couple of bookkeeping questions. Firstly, on the other non-current liabilities, over the year, FY21, it has decreased from 550 crores to 220 crores approx. So as I understand it, the last part of this is towards advances from customers which have long-term contracts. If you could throw some light as to what pertains to this 220 crores on the balance sheet, that would be really helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, so it basically is right in terms of reflecting that it is a larger part of that is related to the advance coming from the long-term contracts. Now, as we are moving towards the commercialization phase, there is a plan in which the advances will get adjusted. So a certain component of the non-current liability, which essentially means that it will be adjusted over a period of beyond 12 months, is now coming into within 12 months and is moved from non-current liabilities to current liabilities. So that's just a bookkeeping movement within 12 years and beyond 12 years.
Right. So this is all related to the three contracts in place, or at least the other two contracts that are remaining, right?
So this is related to the first and the second contract. In first contract, we got already have some advance, which will be adjusted against the fee. And also on the second contract, there's an advance.
Okay, and lastly, on the non-controlling interest, it has reduced significantly. Any commentary on that front?
So we had one subsidiary where we had 50.2% stake. Over the last fortnight of March, that stake was changed to 50%. So from a subsidiary, it became a joint ownership entity. So that was change related to that.
Okay, that's it from my end. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. And my apologies if you've already answered that. So the new product lines, the high margin products that we are talking about, which are going to add to revenue over 2024 and 27. So which basically industries and markets would these be targeting, and what would their core functionality be? If you could like to throw some light on that.
Yeah, so basically it will be in pharmaceutical, agrochemical, and dyes, pigment, polymers, rubber chemicals. So very widely used products. end user market.
Right. So I was
50 to 60% will be in pharma and agro combined.
Mm-hmm.
And 40 to 50 will be more on your discretionary. So there will be a broad composition.
Right. No, I was just trying to understand more from the functionality perspective that what would make these products high value add as compared to the current line of products that we already have, and what would change in terms of functionality, and what solutions are they going to provide?
The value addition in the sense the number of chemistry steps what you add.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates a value addition. So if you have a two-step process, then third step, fourth step, then value added sin becomes higher. So your raw material cost and the sales price difference goes on increasing as you have more and more steps added. So we start with benzene, which is less than a dollar. Then we make products for $5, $6, $10, $20, $30. And now we are looking at $70, $80 also.
Right.
So that's how the value addition we count. So when it becomes $80, then you expect that your raw material cost will not be more than 30-40%
mm-hmm.
in that product.
Understood, sir. Thanks for answering that. So if I have more, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Roshan Nair from Equentis Wealth. Please go ahead. Roshan Nair, your line is unmuted. You may go ahead with the question.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So going forward, what will be the revenue mix you will be envisaging between pharmaceuticals and spec chem?
I think around 75-25 range, you know, 75 to 80 on specialty and 25, around 25 on pharma.
Okay. And what will be the immediate projects that will you will be taking up on CAPEX front? So the current phase is over. Now, which will be the immediate projects that you will be taking up?
Yes, so this chlorotoluene related product chemistry, then this universal UMPP kind of a plant, and pharmaceutical related UMPP. This will be the expansion which will be taken.
Okay. And from the specialized product portfolio, so what will be the contribution that you are envisaging going forward? Can you give some rough idea on that?
Can you repeat the question?
From the specialized product portfolio, since you are undertaking many downstream projects, so what will be the guidance going forward? I mean, in what direction will it contribute to EBITDA?
Yeah, so that's what we say, no? About 25-30% EBITDA margin will be there for that. You know, some places it can be 40-50 also. It depends. So broadly, you know, overall as a basket, we are looking at 25-30%.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Chintan, I'm a bit confused. If you can just clarify, maybe I couldn't hear it properly. In terms of business, we are saying from roughly 5,000 crore for turnover for fiscal 21, we should probably be about double that number in fiscal 24. And by fiscal 27, we should be about 3 to 3.5 times that number. So about 15,000 to 18,000 crore. And EBITDA margin compared to about 21 odd that we have clocked for the last year, in this 6-year period, should range 25-30%. Have I understood this correctly?
No, this 25-30% is for the newer products.
Okay. And therefore, overall margin, because of that, will get lifted up.
Yes.
And turnover doubling in the 3 years, and then roughly adding another 5,000 to 8,000 crores in the next 3 years further.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rohit Jain from Tara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Just two questions. One is a clarification question. So over FY22, FY23, the CapEx is going to be 1,500 crores for each of the years, or is it going to be 1,500 crores combined?
That is, as regards the existing product portfolio, what we have is only 1,500 crores combined.
Okay, fair enough. And second, I'm sorry to belabor that point, and it's a continuation of what one of the earlier participants said. In a dynamic world where so many variables are out of our control, does it make sense to sort of, you know, project that far out? I mean, from FY27 to FY, you know, FY24 to 27, based on investments that are going to happen in the future, how much of it is in our control? How much of it is out of our control? I mean, what I fear is because of change in variables, are we not sort of putting ourselves under too much of a spotlight by, you know, projecting confidence so far out?
No, basically, you know, you see in this chemical, there are only China and India, which are, there are two players. And there is, obviously, there is appetite on China plus one. So, and a lot of these products, you know, will be the only player in India. So, from market size, we are fairly confident on that side. And then we have also analyzed the downstream products, how the demand is growing and what is that situation. And customer appetite also. So, then also
I mean,
we have given a range. It's like, you know, on a profitability, it is 3 to 4 times, and turnover is 2.5 to 3.5. So it is very, very narrow range. I think it's a very reasonable range, I think, which we feel that we should be able to hit.
No, I mean, I'll tell you where I am coming from. Let's say we haven't had a full-blown recession over the last many years. I mean, COVID was a very sharp spike and then a equally sharp spike up. We supply a lot of our products to cyclical industries. Let us assume that if we have a 2-3 year recession over the next 7-8 years, it's not outside the realm of possibility. So then all these projections sort of become moot. So, you know, I'm just struggling. I mean, how do we, you know, being a supplier to cyclical industries, how do we have visibility that far out?
Yeah, basically, you know, around 60% will be non-economy linked, non-discretionary. It will be an agro and pharma. If you take pharma and both the segment combined, will be more than 60%, which is not related to discretionary, so will not be related to any recession-related cycle. So agrochemical is own cycle. So sometime, you know, 1 year or two, you know, it can be going up and down. And that also, agrochemical also, we are not restricted to one geography. Nor are we restricted to one kind of, you know, herbicide, fungicide. We have herbicide, fungicide, insecticide going into different geography, different crops. It's a very quite well spread out basket on the agrochemical side also. So that, you know, this recessionary point, but, you know, it's not like, you know, we are in only in a auto exposure. Then suddenly, you know, everything gets kind of a collapse situation. We have a very widespread end-use exposure. So that's why I think broadly this range we should be able to hit. That's what we feel.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikas from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Vishnu from Spark Capital, sir. Sir, on your incremental investments, this 2,500 to 3,000, if you could broadly break it down under, say, subcategories, because I see that you have written on chlorotoluenes value chain, that UMPP. If you could just broadly bifurcate under each category, how much would you be spending? And also, if it is possible, how much of this incremental capex is going towards an import substitution or an export opportunity? If you could give some breakup on that.
Basically, you know, there will be three kind of manufacturing plants will be put. Certain plant will be totally dedicated, like chlorination. OCT, PCT becomes a totally dedicated plant. Then photochlorination, amoxidation, which are called single chemistry, multi-campaign-based plants.
If you could give the CAPEX number also against
me. Yeah, first let me explain.
Yeah.
There are three kind of plants. So one is dedicated, and the second is a single chemistry, multi-product. So, you know, that single chemistry, multi-product, there can be a chlorotoluene product also being a chain also, and even a nitrochlorobenzene or chlorobenzene chain also can be used there. And third is a UMPP plant, multi, where the chemistry as well as the product can be different. It becomes difficult to, you know, allocate the assets, that how much asset will go into a it will not be a dedicated, that entire reactor, the range of chlorotoluene will be in a particular dedicated asset. And other products will be in another dedicated asset. So if you have a AHF fluorination process, it should be called a process block. No, the process block will have a product coming from various value chain. It can be nitrochlorobenzene, chlorobenzene, nitrotoluene, chlorotoluene. We will have four value chain. So it cannot be directly linked to a particular value chain and then asset one-on-one. And regarding the import substitution and exports, substantial portion of our business will come in that two buckets.
I mean, if you could split that, sir, I mean, import substitution, how much would that be in export opportunities? Let's say if it's 100 and it's a pie, 50-50 or 60-70-30, any broad?
Yeah, it will be more or less on an equal.
Okay, got it, sir. And, sir, if we see that the last 9 months profitability, I'm excluding the 1Q because we had a very bad quarter because of COVID, we see that if we strip the $5 million that we get on a run rate, the overall EBITDA margin is slightly weaker compared to the last year as well. And especially given that next year onwards, we won't have this 150 crore run rate going up. So what should we be seeing as a near-term margin? Will it materially inch up? The other products, or rather the profitability, will inch up in 23 to kind of maintain a run rate? If you could just explain on this, sir.
Yeah, basically it's 23 and 24, the volumes of other products will come up. So that will drive the, you're right, you know, the shortfall fee will not be there in the next two, in FY23. But the volume from other products should compensate that. And this contract 2 and 3 will have a full entire year under operation.
But one of the contracts, if I'm not too wrong, is actually a low margin because it's a full cash upfront. So it could also probably drag a little bit.
Going on an absolute percentage, like, okay. But we are generally looking at an absolute EBITDA level. So as a percentage, maybe, you know, that can be a dip.
Okay. So what should be the rough margin, the EBITDA margin that we should work with, sir? Because we closed probably around 22%. Any rough guidance on this for at least the near term next 2 years?
Yes, that's why, you know, FY24 virtually we have said, you know, more or less same. Turnover and EBITDA growth will become more or less similar. So current margin will in FY21 should sustain in FY24 also. That's what we see.
Okay, got it, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Keyur Pandya from ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Just one clarification. So, if I look
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pandya, but we are not able to hear you. Your voice is very faint.
Okay. Is it proper now?
Yes, much better, sir. Please continue.
Yes. Okay. So if I look at the current gross block, capitalized gross block, that must be around 5,000 crore, and we are at 5,000 crore of sales. Now, over next 2 years, you are talking about capex of 1,500 crore, plus I am assuming this 1,300 crore of work in progress getting capitalized. So, for incremental 5,000 crore of sales over next 3 years, we only need 2,700-2,800 crore of capex, which is almost 1.8, 1.9 times asset turn. If this is true, then can you explain how it will happen, or correct me if I am wrong in my understanding?
No, there will be always a ramp up of the asset which is already capitalized. So that ramp also takes place. So it can be that next 2 years are going to be capitalized in the next 2 years is going to be reflecting in the third year turnover. So the earlier also whatever is capitalized also will contribute into the turnover.
Okay, understood. Okay, so thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Gaur from Systematic Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, sir. Sir, my question with regards to, what sort of risk you envisage while giving, this guidance for 24 and 27? And pertaining to that, what events can make you lower your guidance, in future? That's my first question.
Generally, the Chinese currency depreciating against the Indian currency. That would be one of the key which can impact your margin. And that will be always a risk which will remain because we are mainly competing with China in that sense. Other than that, we are quite well spread in our end use, we don't have any customer concentration and geography also. So, and number of products are also very large. Manufacturing facilities are also located at very different locations. So significant one kind of event impacting your profitability by 25-30%, I don't see that kind of thing risk.
Okay, and to manage this considerable guidance, what sort of management bandwidth we currently have, and how are we thinking about it going ahead to manage the scale which you are guiding us? A second line of management, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, actually that was also in one of my speech that last 2-3 years. A lot of human talent side, we have strengthened by recruiting senior level professionals from outside companies. So we have got chief manufacturing officer, we have got chief CHRO, chief scientific officer, chief project procurement officer, and chief IT officer also we have taken. So we have strengthened human talent across various functions in last 2-3 years. As we had visualized that, there is a tremendous growth opportunity. So we'll have to strengthen not only R&D, but also on manufacturing and project in information technology for digitalization and all. And strategy also, business development also. We have got IIM, IIT graduates who are part of the team.
Right. And so just the departmental head, are these guys are coming up, are from the reputed MNCs, or, if you can give that background as well, just wanted to understand their remuneration and how our employee costs will be in, subsequent years. I'm just trying to understand their background, not from a remuneration perspective, but more from a background perspective.
So we have people from Syngenta and people from Aditya Birla and Vedant, and from Reliance and Deepak Nitrite, then from PI, SRF, UPL. So across the board we have, from my Reliance to Aditya Birla on one side, then Indian company, PI, SRF, UPL, then Syngenta.
Right. And lastly, sir, from my side, just any timeline to fundraise? And will this be utilized, whatever fund we will raise, this will be utilized to achieve FY24 target or 27 target?
So basically, this overall we are going to spend this 4,500 to 5,000 crore capex. The money will be used for general combined purposes, you know. It will not be specifically linked to a particular project as such. And regarding timeline and all, we have not yet finalized. We have just passed the resolution. So now we'll work out the time frame.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is a follow-up from the line of Aditya Khetan from East India Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir, and thank you for the follow-up. The first question is, so what would be the maintenance capex for the full year FY21 on a capex of 1,300 crores?
That will be about 200 to 250 crores.
And sir, second question is on the interest cost side. Sir, sir, do we have any figure for the full year mark-to-market gain what we have got in FY21? When I look at on a YY basis, the number has declined quite sharply. Is there any mark-to-market gain which we have received for the full year FY21? Hello?
Yeah, it is in the range of around 67 crore.
6 to 7 crore, but still, sir, the number is showing a quite amount of difference.
When you look at the general interest rates also falling off significantly on a year-on-year basis.
Okay. Okay. Sir, third question is on the NCB business. Sir, do we have any sort of number? So what is the import substitution size in the NCB business now? Because there is one more company, Bodal Chemicals, they are also entering into the NCB business by setting up a 55,000 tons per annum capacity. So now so that capacity will come by next year. But so I just wanted to know what would be the import substitution size of this, and we are also expanding into this segment only. So what is the outlook and what would be the size if there is any idea on this side?
Yeah, nitrochlorobenzene, para-nitrochlorobenzene is currently imported. And now because the para-aminophenol, the government has introduced PLI scheme. So we see that substantial expansion coming up in that downstream product. This will increase the PNCB demand in India, especially. And regarding ONCB, we will be expanding our downstream capacity to manage ONCB.
Okay, and regarding the Bodal Chemical expansion, any outlook, sir, like how are you looking to compete with them, or what could be the commentary? Can you give us some idea on that part?
As I mentioned, a lot of para-aminophenol investment will come up in India. So that will increase PNCB demand substantially. And there are a lot of other downstream products like para-aniseidine also is not made in India. So that also capacity is going to come up. So a lot of downstream import substitution also is going to take place, which will increase the demand of PNCB.
Okay, sir. Perfect, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajendra Gogri for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, it has been a pleasure interacting with you over the call. We thank you for taking time out and engaging with us today. We value your continued interest and support. If you have any further questions and would like to know more about the company, kindly reach our investor relations desk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members of management.